D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5, The Game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you, Willie Donick, in St. Louis with the Nashville Predators, who take on the Blues. Pre-game starts at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Puck drop at 7, as always, right here on 102.5 The Game. Willie will be back in studio with us tomorrow because the Predators are at home the rest of the week. So the Tennessee Titans lose, again, 37-24 to the San Francisco 49ers. From Nick Suss of the Tennessean, quote, "With the loss, the Titans' streak of failing to win consecutive games dating back to November 2022 continues. It has been 55 games, more than three full seasons, since the Titans have strung together back-to-back wins." So the Titans will look to win again on Sunday against the Patrick Mahomes-less Kansas City Chiefs, who have been eliminated from the playoffs. By the way, get
this. How many
this.
Times have we said that in the last 10 years? Never.
We haven't, because the Chiefs' 10-year streak of making the playoffs was the longest by any team across the NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball.
I was a freshman in high or in college the last time.
Goodness. It's been a long time. By the way, here's another interesting note. The NFL playoffs will not include Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Patrick Mahomes for the first time since 1998.
Man.
That was the last time, at least. That's how long it's been since none of those quarterbacks were in the playoffs, since 1998. And we'll talk about the Chiefs, I'm sure, at some point, because they've got
their own issues.
They've got a lot of questions to answer as their dynasty run comes to an end. But let's get back to Cam Ward. So Cam Ward, 18 of 29 passing, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions yesterday. I believe it was the 8th time, if I remember correctly, the 8th time in 14 games this season that Cam Ward failed to reach 200 passing yards. But Derek, we spent a lot of time on Friday talking about Cam Ward's accuracy or lack thereof. And can it be fixed? Well, since the bye week, Cam Ward has completed 62.1% of his passes, which still isn't great, but that is up from 57.6% before the bye. Since the bye, he has 6 passing touchdowns to 1 interception. So he has shown some growth. But again, I said this to start the show, and I will say it again. If you are on one side of the fence, if you are on the side of the fence that Derek is on, which is you've seen some signs from Cam Ward, some flashes of brilliance. He's playing for a bad team with inexperienced pass catchers, with a suspect offensive line, with an interim head coach. How could he possibly succeed in that environment? He needs more time. If you're on that side of the fence, really nothing is going to change your opinion over the next 3 games. On the other hand, if you're on the other side of the fence, which is Cam sucks, bust, what a waste, nothing is going to change your mind. What I firmly believe, Derek, is one thing I think Cam Ward truly needs to get some people off his back, and I even acknowledge that it may not get enough people off of his back. One thing he desperately needs is that huge game. And I agree with what Willie said earlier. It's not all about the fantasy stats, the passing yards, the touchdowns, the scrambles, the rushing touchdowns, all of those things. It's not just about that, the box score stats, the counting stats. There are efficiency markers that are more important than whether he's throwing for 200 yards or 150 yards or 300 yards, whatever. But I think it would do Cam Ward some good if he could find a way to muster one of those games. I bring up the Shedeur Sanders game against the Titans last week. I understand the environment, the context, the defense Shedeur Sanders was playing, but think about the conversation around Shedeur Sanders all of last week. Now, he kind of ruined it with how he played yesterday, but all last week it was, look at Shedeur Sanders. Look at this huge game he had. the Browns should give him a chance, right? Mm-hmm. Cam needs a game like that. I truly believe that. Do I think he's going to get it? Probably not. But I do think it would help. I think it would help for Cam Ward to have one of those games. But I do want to talk to you about something that we actually talked about last week. I think we should revisit it. The one thing, Derek, that you have consistently said about Cam Ward, his inaccuracy down the sideline, outside the numbers, is a glaring issue. And we saw it once again yesterday, late in the second half. The Titans are in San Francisco territory. He dials one up for Van Jefferson deep down the left sideline. If they connect, at the very least, they're at the 5-yard line. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets in for a touchdown, but he misses him. And there were some other throws that were questionable. He had a pass in the third quarter, also intended for Jefferson, that should have been intercepted, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But then again, on the other side, he had a great throw, I thought, to Gunnar Helm for a touchdown. You heard TD break it down earlier, and Ben Solak of ESPN, I think, summarized it well. He said, quote, "Perfect ball from Ward." This is on the touchdown to Helm. "Keeps his eyes to the field to hold the coverage for as long as possible, then hits the out and up on time and away from coverage, allowing Helm to protect himself from the hit and finish the play." That was a great play. He also had a play on a scramble in the fourth quarter. He evaded multiple defenders. He's running toward the right sideline. He throws a BB to Jim DK, drops it. So, again, there you take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have the facts of life of Cam Ward's rookie season. But I want to ask you about a couple of these throws. Yes. Let's start with the one that everybody's pointing to. The Cam Ward misses a wide open receiver throw of the day, which was the one to Van Jefferson at the end of the second quarter. What did you see on that play, specifically from Cam reading that play, making the throw? I want your expert analysis on that play.
Well, it was a great route by Jefferson. So the slant, honestly, it would have been a touchdown if you put it up the field. Again, this is the problem. For whatever reason, he has throwing from, throwing to his left, deep balls. He needs to get better at that. Was he getting pressure? Yeah, but I still think he needs to make that throw. So those are things that he needs to work on. I didn't see anything other than him not having a good base in throwing that ball, not really settling in because, you had the outside rusher coming. But then again, these are plays that or throws that he's shown he can make when pressure's in his face. So it's not like, he hasn't made throws with pressure in his face before. But for whatever reason, when that happens to that left side, that's where he tends to be off the most. And this may be, this may be a problem that the right head coach or the right coordinator can get out of him, because this is what I saw from Marcus Mariota. And I said this years ago. I said, between the numbers – and quick, Marcus was brilliant at that because that's what he did at Oregon. He threw it in between the numbers, quick passes in between the numbers, receivers ran. But outside the numbers is where he struggled. And when he got in the NFL, he never really perfected that. He never, at least not with the Titans, he never perfected throwing outside the numbers. If you actually want to throw it inside, he can do that. But he never perfected, for whatever reason, throwing to the outside. Maybe it was because of in college he didn't have to. I don't know what it was, but he never was able, at least while he was with the Titans, able to master those deep throws, those deep outs on the sideline, because he didn't have to throw much of them, many of them. I'm wondering if that's what Cam's problem is. And if that is indeed the problem, the next guy they bring in here, it's going to be critical for him to make sure this offseason that he works on that throw, that he works on those deep sideline throws, that he works on those deep out routes. He can hit the crosser route. I've seen him hit those routes. I've seen him hit the routes on the outside to the right side. I've seen that. But for some reason, he has trouble throwing it to the left side outside the numbers. That's something he needs to work on. That's something that I'm sure the next head coach and offensive coordinator will break down every snap he's taken. And they will make sure that, and it could just be a, you know, footwork thing, a base thing for him. Get your base set, get your footwork right, and then you can make that throw. That's why to me it's, okay, let's give him another year. These are all, we got to understand, he's working through all of this stuff as a rookie with not that much help around him. And again, it's no disrespect to DK and Alec and Gunner, because I think those guys are going to be players for this team. I think they're going to be critical in the growth of this Titans team. But they don't have those veteran, they don't have those playmakers that a rookie quarterback needs. They don't have that playmaking dynamic tight end. I love Chig. He needs to do a better job at blocking too. He's horrible. He, as much as I, you know, dismiss blocking sometimes, because I feel blocking is a want to. I can't teach you. You got to want to. I'm not sure if Chig wants to at times. Hell of a pass catcher. He's shown that he's gotten better there. But you need to be a dual threat guy. You need to be like some of these guys, you know, Delaney that came through here. You know, you need to be like Delaney. They can both catch and block when he needs to. So when I'm looking at all this, I'm thinking the offseason is going to be critical. One, Cam's development. And two, who do they bring in to help develop him? Because if you don't take care of it now, he will never get it. Like Marcus, at least while he was with the Titans. I hadn't watched him that much outside of the Titans. But if you do not get a hold of it now and get the right guy, you're going to have the same issues that Marcus had.
One texter who says, such a dumb argument. Cam needs to play well. No bleep, he needs to have a good game to prove he doesn't stink. Here's the point I am attempting to make. Mm-hmm. I think most people would agree that Cam Ward's best game this season was his performance against the Seattle Seahawks in Week 12. If you look at the fancy stats, that is clearly the best game he has had all season long. The efficiency stats, if you look at those stats, the Seahawks game is the best game he's had all season. Let me tell you what his traditional box score was for that game. 28 of 42 for 256 yards and a touchdown. That's my point. Cam looked good in that game. I was really impressed by a lot of the things that Cam Ward did against the Seattle Seahawks. Once again, a really good defense. But the problem is 28 of 42 for 256 yards and a touchdown doesn't impress anybody. Mm-hmm. That's my point, is he needs to have a game with the efficiency stats where he puts up big numbers that most people look at and go, wow, Cam Ward had a game like that? That's my point, is that Cam Ward has shown throughout the season that he can do some special things. He's incredibly inconsistent, but he has shown that he can do some special things. But it's hard to make the argument that he's doing those special things, one, when the team is losing, mm-hmm. and two, when he's not putting up gaudy numbers. That's my point.
Yeah, and listen, you look at that Seattle game, and the reason people ain't talking about it is because they lost. You know, they lost in a sort of winning performance by Cam, but they still lost. You know, if you look at the box scores, you would think, okay, those are good, but you still lost. So no one's talking about it. In Will Levis's four-touchdown game, they won. You know, they won. In Marcus's four-touchdown game, they won. So Cam has had one of those games minus the touchdowns, but they lost. So people are looking at it and say, oh, yeah, he put up the numbers, but they lost. Let's move on. Can he put up those numbers and win a game? Well, he could if the team around him was a little bit better. If this team was winning football games despite Cam's numbers, people wouldn't care. People really wouldn't. Because I'm going to tell you, somebody else that didn't have great numbers that year we went to the Super Bowl, Steve, his numbers weren't great, but we were winning. We found ways to win. we were a complete team. Matt numbers weren't great. He did what he needed to do to win football games. But again, winning masks a lot of things. And winning hopefully helps you allow the player to develop inside of this sort of bubble, hidden in a sense. Because he can play not good. And if you're winning, everybody's like, okay, it's, we can give him time. Keep running football. Give him time. He'll come on. But when you're losing, nobody's giving you time. They're not. This season is bearing it for Cam, even though people understand and know that this roster isn't good.
Steve McNair in 1999 in the regular season started 11 games. He went 9-2. He had a completion percentage of 56.5%, 12 passing touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Exact. That is what – and that's what – people. And the only reason I am so adamant and I am just like – passionate about, because I've seen it happen.
And on top of that, he had 337 rushing yards and 8 rushing touchdowns.
I've seen it happen in front of my face. I was on the field watching all this. The only reason that it was masked is because we were winning. If Cam was winning, if the team was winning, if they had a better team around him, if they were winning, people would dismiss the numbers. They would say he's a rookie, a first round. I get it, but he's a rookie. They're still winning. They have time to bring the man along, the young man along. But when you ain't winning, your roster's bad. Now all of a sudden, oh, he's a bust. Even though y'all know this roster isn't good, even though y'all know he doesn't have the necessary pass catchers that he needs. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that this kid is going to be again. I'm not saying it's going to be all world. I'm saying put people around him. Put more people around it, and then let's judge them based upon that. Can we all do that? I know it's hard to do, even with me sometimes, but can we all do that? Because last year, we were talking about give Will Levis this many games, and we gave him that many games. And in that many games, he showed us that he wasn't consistently the guy that he needed to be moving forward. So the Titans went and got another guy. So at least let's give him into next season before y'all dismiss him. I'm not saying don't, but at least give him until next season. See how he starts next season. See what they add around him. And then, like Carolina, we can then start the clock on Cam Ward.
615-737-1025. It's time for one of our patented Cam Ward vibe checks. How are you feeling about Cam Ward with 3 more games left in his rookie season? And you know what? Didn't I say, knock on wood, he was going to start every game?
Mm-hmm.
He's on pace to do that. We'll see if he finishes out the season starting all 17 games. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
What's crazy is every time we practice that play, Cam never threw me the ball. And so I'm like, you know, I'm hitting the flag. I expected him to come out there with me, the corner that was sitting out there. I knew he was probably going to come. But I'm like, and I saw Cam scrambling. I mean, everybody watched Cam throw balls. He probably threw the ball, which is dangerous, across his body more than any quarterback in the league. And I'm like, I'm going to go the opposite way. I know Cam can make that throw. And when I saw him release it, I'm like, oh, don't drop this ball. Whatever you do, like, you know, that's all I was going through my mind. Like, that was going through my mind. I'm like, do not drop this ball. And, you know, he made a hell of a throw across his body. And, I mean, that's Cam. Cam could do that, and it looked, like, effortless. And I was just happy to be able to catch that and the excitement. Like I said, we've been practicing that play a couple weeks now, and, you know, hopefully they can keep me over there now. So
that was Jeffrey Simmons on his touchdown grab against the 49ers yesterday. Cam Ward, by the way, had a time to throw of 6.2 seconds on that play. The longest time to throw on a touchdown pass targeting a non-skill player in the next-gen stats era since at least 2016.
Man, they got stats for everything.
They got numbers for everything, which is why I love numbers. But I hear what Jeffrey Simmons is saying there. The best plays from Cam Ward this season have been those improvisational plays, the scrambling plays. Remember his first touchdown against the Rams to Elegaya Manor. That was an incredible play. I thought the play yesterday to Simmons was an awesome play, and I agree with what Simmons said there. Cam Ward makes that look effortless. what the Titans need to do is to make Cam look that good when he's within the structure. Mm-hmm. And that's been the issue. Like, I like the fact that Cam Ward can get out and evade multiple defenders and try to make plays again. One of the best plays he made yesterday was a drop by Chim Dike. Mm-hmm. So we know he can make those plays. I am encouraged. I heard Robbie Stanley say the same thing this morning. I am encouraged by Cam Ward's ability to scramble, but it's more about making sure that Cam Ward can be successful in structure. One texter says, I hear your point. His best games are way down statistically by his team and his schedule, but don't you think that's a bit of a reach to mask how bad he's been? His PFF grade is 39th of 41. Again, you know I love my numbers. I pay for PFF. I pay for NFL Pro Premium. I am not a tape grinder. I have access to the All-22 film. I don't know what I'm watching. That's why I rely on Derek. He knows what he's watching. I deal with the spreadsheets. Derek deals with the eye test. That's why this show works. And I know that the numbers are bad. No matter how you slice it, traditional numbers, fancy stats, whatever you want, it does not paint a beautiful picture of Cam Ward. He has been, statistically, one of, if not the worst, starting quarterback in the NFL this season. But, again, it goes back to watching some of the plays he's able to make. The play to Jeffrey Simmons yesterday. That was a creative play. Cam Ward did the thing. Again, he held that ball for roughly 6 seconds and found Jeffrey Simmons in the end zone for a big man touchdown. Love a big man touchdown. So, to me, it's about marrying the two. I am open-minded. I know that we live in a world where you have to have an opinion one way or the other. There is no gray area. Either you're on this side or you're on this side. And I am not one to rush to conclusions. Now, some of you will say, I wouldn't be rushing to a conclusion to say that Cam Ward is not the guy right now. But I am still gathering information. That does not mean, Derek, listeners, that does not mean that I don't ultimately think that Cam Ward is not going to pan out. I have not made up my mind. And you know what? That's okay. I don't have to have an opinion on everything right now. I am still gathering the information. The numbers don't look good. As Lenny says, numbers don't lie. To an extent, that is true. But let me tell you something, Lenny and others. As someone who works in analytics, you can make numbers say whatever you want. You can paint the picture of a player who is struggling by pointing out his strengths, right? Mm-hmm. You can manipulate data. You can use certain rates. You can do all of these things. And I'm telling you that as someone who works for an analytical company on the side, in addition to my role here on 102.5 The Game. So to an extent, numbers don't lie. But numbers can be massaged. Numbers can be presented in certain ways that can frame your point. So forgive me, Cam haters out there, if you're upset with me that I am at the point where if you ask me right now, do you think Cam Ward is going to pan out as the number one overall pick? You know what my answer is right now? I don't know. And that's okay. It's okay to say I don't know. People don't want to hear I don't know. It either has to be yes or no.
I get it. You know, numbers, and you know, some people are looking at them and they tell a story. What is the old saying? Men lie, women lie. But I'm going to change it a little bit. Men lie, women lie, but numbers don't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. Because, like Adam said, you can manipulate the numbers to get, or you can show or dive into it enough to show that there is a number that says he's doing well. You can pull out something within those numbers to say he's doing well.
Frankly, there aren't a lot of them. Let's just
they're not a lot of them.
There aren't a lot of them.
You can massage it in a way. Well, he did. The numbers say he did this in this game. he's getting better. Or the numbers said he did this in that game, he's getting better. So the numbers don't tell the whole story. That's why, for me, I like to look at the game and as I'm looking at it, it's like, what am I looking for when it comes to Cam or the quarterback? And so I got things that I'm looking for and things that I'm hoping that he improves in. And he is improving in those things. Now, again, is it at a rate that, you know, people are happy with? No, it's not, because the team's bad. But it's how do they feel about him in that building? You know, do they feel as if he's progressing in a way that is going to be beneficial to his career moving forward? Knowing all of the sort of obstacles that he has to overcome, and when I mean obstacles, I mean the lack of top-end talent on the roster, or the talent that you have is young and still developing, so they're developing right with him. So you're going to have games more times than not where it doesn't look the way you want it to look.
Lenny has turned back in and said, my analytics say that he ass. And you know what? That's fine. If you are on that side of the Cam Ward argument.
Yeah, there's no change in him. There's no change in Lenny.
And conversely, if you're on the Cam Ward is going to be okay side, it's going to be hard to change your mind.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to change
but
that.
But like, here's the thing. Again, as I said, as someone who works in analytics, as someone who makes a living in addition to doing this, working in analytics, it's not as simple as just looking at the numbers. You have to look at the environment. A player can have bad numbers because he's playing in a poor environment. Some players outperform significantly because they are playing in a good environment. There are players in all sports, whether you want to talk football, basketball, hockey, that there are players who outperform expectations. They have seasons that nobody predicted. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, it is the result of a good environment. You're playing with good players. Like, let's use a hockey example. I'm trying to think of a recent Predators player who had a fabulous season out of nowhere. I can't think of one off the top of my head. It'll come to me. But anyway, when I'm looking at why a certain player is overperforming, one of the first things that I do, this is hockey, is I look at who his line mates are.
Okay.
So if Rocco Grimaldi, remember Rocco Grimaldi? If Rocco Grimaldi is having the best season of his life, and he did have some solid seasons for the Predators, what's the first thing that I do? I look at who his line mates were. Is he playing with the top players on the team? Is he playing with Philip Forsberg? Is he playing with Ryan Johansson at the time? Is he playing with Victor Arvidsson? If he's playing with top players, he's probably going to look better. This is my long-winded way of saying that I don't think you can dismiss the environment that Cam Ward is in. Now, you can certainly make the argument that the Titans should have known that Cam was going to be brought into this environment and that he wasn't going to succeed, and they shouldn't have drafted him. You can make that argument.
Yeah.
You absolutely can make that argument. My point is, I don't think it's telling the entire story to simply dismiss his environment. So, like, there was a texter. I've got to find them. Okay, here it is. One texter said, I am so tired of you guys talking about the roster around him. The roster around him has nothing to do with his tremendously inconsistent passing and his ability to miss a wide-open Van Jefferson. There are probably 40 quarterbacks in the league, starters and backups, that would have won more than two games by now with the same team around them.
How many did they win last year?
I don't even remember.
Two?
Three.
So your point you did that the texter tried to make is mute. They did have other people in here last year, and they couldn't win last year.
So Sean on our text line talking about the environment, he says Daniel Jones with Indianapolis versus Russell Wilson in Denver.
Oh my!
Right. Well, like no, I, if I'm reading Sean's text correctly, Daniel Jones got off to a fabulous start with the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, of course. Look at the talent around him.
Bingo.
Hell of a talent.
Right. Now it's gone to pot since then, and Phillip Rivers had a fun experience yesterday.
I wanted him to win, too.
Right. Like another texter here mentions this as a hockey example. Zach Hyman in Edmonton. Zach Hyman is a winger for the Edmonton Oilers who, let's see, two seasons ago had 54 goals out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. His previous career high was 36. Do you know who Zach Hyman was playing with?
I can
Connor McDavid. Like that. Like that's why Zach Hyman had 54 goals, and he was playing on one of the best power plays in the history of the NHL. Zach Hyman's a good player. Mm-hmm. He's not a 54-goal scorer, but he's a 54-goal scorer because he's playing with the greatest player in the world every night, and then he gets the opportunity to play on a power play with one fewer player on the other team, whipping it around with McDavid and Draisaitl. That's my point. That's a good example, Texter. That's my point.
That's like saying, like, for the Texter that said his environment has nothing to do with, you know, how he's playing. That to me, that in itself is completely wrong. I think environment, you know, whether it be sports or non-sports, it does affect you as an individual if you're in those environments, or you as a community if you're in those environments. It's the same on the football field. Your environment does. Why do you think it's important for teams to make sure their locker room is right, to make sure they have the best locker room that they could possibly have? Because environment does dictate winning. It does. Rosters do dictate. I've never seen a bad roster win football games. Again, I'm going to repeat that. I've never seen a bad roster win football games. Never seen it. Show me a bad roster that won football games. There's not many, if any at all. This is a bad roster. So you can't, Mike, you can't. I hope that was the person trying to troll. I really do hope that's what someone was trying to do. Because there's no way in anyone's mind that you can think that on a football field or a basketball court or ice hockey rink.
Yep.
Or baseball diamond, that if you have a bad team, that you are going to lead that bad team roster to anything. Michael Jordan, people, the greatest basketball, at least in my mind, second to Kobe, is in some people's mind the greatest basketball player ever to lace him up. I think it's Kobe. His first seasons, he wasn't winning. So, and then once they started adding people around him, Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, people like that, that were veteran guys that knew how to win. You had a young guy in Scottie that was uber talented. Once you started putting people around him, then you were able to see that real Michael Jordan. But because he didn't have a bad team, you didn't see the full effects of Michael Jordan. This roster's bad. People, I'm gonna say this, and it's no disrespect to the Titans, because they know they do not have the roster that they need in order to compete at a high level that they want to compete at. This roster isn't good, people. They have a few good players. They have some young guys that I think that can grow and mature and develop into good players. But at this point, the only guy that would even elicit the Titans is Jeffrey Simmons. That's the only guy. He played for the Titans. If you asked them, who does some of these other guys play for, probably outside of Cam Ward, you wouldn't know. You just wouldn't. This roster isn't good, okay? They don't need they don't have the necessary depth in top-end talent to compete at this moment. I'm not saying anything that people don't see. I'm not saying anything that they don't understand over there in the Titans building. At this point, they do not have the talent to consistently win and compete. They got a hell of a player in Jeffrey Simmons. They got a good player in Pollard, tough runner. They got some good players on the offensive line, Peter and Levin. I think Zeitler's pretty good. Cushenberry needs to come on. They got a few of those guys. But for the most part, everybody knows in their mother and father that this team is devoid of talent.
615-737-1025. I will clarify my stance because I just want to make sure all of y'all understand what I'm saying. And I'll do that next. But we'll take your text as well. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Kane is in the building.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Predators pregame coming up at the top of the hour. Predators at Blues tonight. Puck drop at 7, as I just said. Pregame coming up next at 6 o'clock. Joey from Bellevue has saved my ass because I don't know why I pulled out Rocco Grimaldi. I mean, I loved covering Rocco Grimaldi, but Joey from Bellevue makes a perfect – he brings up the player I should have brought up.
Uh-huh.
He says, Gus Nyquist. Gus Nyquist is a perfect example of what I am talking about when it comes to environment. Gus Nyquist, in his first season with the Predators, had 75 points in his mid-30s. His previous career high was 60 points. So he outdid himself by 15 points. You know why Gus Nyquist had 75 points 2 years ago? Because he was playing with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. That's my point. Thank you, Joey, for saving my ass. That's my point. It's about environment. The Predators' power play, if I recall correctly, was quite good that season. And he was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was probably picking up a lot of points on the power play. I'm going to check that so that I don't make an ass of myself. Let's see here. They were middle of the pack on the power play. But that he gets – Joey, thank you. I think that's the perfect example of what I was trying to say. I don't know. Again, no disrespect to Rocco Grimaldi, who I think is playing in Russia right now. Anyway, before we go, I want to clarify my position on Cam Ward so that I cannot be taken out of context. Statistically, Ward is one of, if not the, worst starting quarterback in the NFL this season. I cannot spin that, and I am not going to attempt to spin the numbers too much. They are what they are. But it also is, in my opinion, a bit disingenuous to say that his environment has had no influence on his play. Yes, he needs to work on missing open receivers. We can all agree on that. The throw to Jefferson yesterday, the throw to DK last week, there are plenty of others. He needs to work on that. Absolutely. But he is also hampered by inexperienced pass catchers. What more could Ward have done on that scramble play that Chim DK dropped? A more sure-handed, a more experienced wide receiver probably makes that catch. And we're adding that highlight to the, hey, these are the good Cam plays. Mm-hmm. We got one more good Cam play. So again, I think it's, I want to emphasize this. Cam Ward has not played well this season. I do believe his environment has had an influence on it. Doesn't mean it's 95% responsible for it or 75% responsible for it. But to say that his environment has nothing to do with his overall play, in my opinion, is incorrect. That's all.
Yeah, and I think, Cam has to, and I believe he will, get better. Now, where is that, where is that set? I don't know. But I do believe, from what I've seen, that he will get better. But also in that, I think the roster has to get better with him. If he gets better but the roster doesn't get better, you're going to end up being in the same position you were in last year, this following season. You're going to be in that position next year. So this roster needs to get better, and Cam needs to continue to develop. You're not going to win in this league. The NFL is telling you. They've told you for many years. You're not going to win in this league if you don't have a good roster. If you don't have a good young roster, and more importantly, if you don't have that quarterback. And when you do have that quarterback, you better be able to surround him with talent. And the longer it takes you to surround him with talent, the worse things are going to be for you and your organization. So, again, he has to get better, and I believe he will. But the roster around him needs to get better as well. He's not going to grow at the rate you need him to grow if things around him isn't getting better. If the things around him isn't growing, he's not going to grow. It's a part of life. It's anything. If the things around you are not getting better, you're not going to get better. Or if you don't get better, the things around you are not going to get better. Cam's in a situation now where the roster's not going to get better until next year. So in real time, we are watching all of this. And some people are realizing it. And some people aren't. And some people are know what's happening, but just don't care. They just want to see him put up the numbers. And it's not going to happen when you have guys not playing at a level that they need to play consistently. And again, a lot of this has to do with youth on his team. The guys that they are going to depend on moving forward this year and next year are going to be a lot of young guys. They need to make sure they hire the right head coach who hires the right offensive coordinator, because we will talk about this tomorrow, but there are teams out there that did it the way we are talking about, adding things around the quarterback. And we will tell you how they end up or how they are doing this season. So the Titans need to take the same template, evaluate Cam this year, but putting talent around him, and talent not just on the field, but talent in the coaching room too. Put it around him and then start to assess him as a quarterback. Because right now, again, you're getting mixed messages here. And a lot of it isn't because of him.
We will continue the Ward conversation tomorrow, but we haven't touched on this. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons having his home burglarized.
Man, that is just like...
And this has been happening a lot.
Yes.
A lot of professional athletes have been targeted in these home invasions, I guess you could say, these burglaries. Fortunately, no one was home when I believe it was six people broke into Simmons' house.
Just
terrifying.
It is. And luckily, he nor any of his family members were there. But even with that, it's like, how safe do I feel going back into my own home after, you know, six individuals violated and broke in? So that's something else that Jeffrey's going to have to deal with. So, man, I hope they put the necessary things around them, the NFL, as far as protection at his house with his family, because it's and you said it right, it's happening more now than it ever has, at least that I've been aware of. And I think a lot of it is because of the schedules, and everybody knows. So hopefully they catch whoever did it. Probably not. They probably won't. But I feel for Jeff, man. I feel for anybody to get their house violated like that and things taken. It's just... it's unfortunate. It really is. And it's scary.
One texter says, you know both his advanced, meaning Ward's, you both know his advanced and traditional stats say he stinks. Just say it's looking like the Titans made a big mistake not trading out of the pick.
How does it? He's not playing well, but the environment around him isn't doing him any justice either. That's all I'm saying. I'm not making a definitive answer either way on Cam Ward. I'm not.
Again, I don't live in a world, I try not to live in a world where everything has to be yes or no. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to say I don't know, which again is not popular, but again, I think it's okay to say yes or no. I have been unimpressed by Cam Ward this season. I am not attempting to make excuses for Cam Ward. I am still sifting through it all, okay? I am still trying to figure out how good he can be. Now, some of you are out on him, so that if or when Cam Ward flames out of the league, you can say, I told you so. But, you know, I don't need to do that. Like, I don't feel the need to do that. But again, That's just me. And I'm proud of who I am. I've turned out okay. But that'll do it for us today. Predators pregame is coming up next. Predators versus Blues. 7 o'clock puck drop pregame in just a matter of moments on 102.5 The Game. The Predators going for, if my math is right, their 7th win in 10
Let's
games.
Go Preds.
Speaking of the Predators, Barry Trotz will join us at 5 o'clock tomorrow for his weekly conversation. Trevor Maddich will join us as well. Willie Donick will be back in the studio. The whole gang will be here starting tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Monday. I love you. The team loves you. The team loves you. You hear this music? You hear it. Don't you forget about us, because we won't forget about you. See you tomorrow, 3 p.m. Peace.